Joining us now here on the show from up in, I guess, the semi-northeast Alabama, from Gadsden to be precise, State Representative Becky Nordgren is on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Jeff. How about you?
We're making it. A lot to talk about here, a lot to get into. Well, first, before we really get into what I had you on, everything going okay? I like to hear from these members around the state about how their districts are doing with COVID and getting the vaccine. What are you hearing?
Well, we're doing pretty good up here in northeast Alabama. I get several calls every day from constituents who are searching the vaccine. They're on a waiting list, and our waiting lists are pretty heavy. So we try to help them out when we can. We find that a lot of the vials will have, supposed to have like 10 or 11 doses, and a lot of times they'll be a little bit more, so they'll have an extra dose. So I've alerted all the independent pharmacies. Look, if you run into that situation where you've got that extra dose and it won't keep, once you've opened it, please call me. I've got me a list. And we've been successfully able to connect them up sometimes. And so that's been very, very good to have that network going with some of our independent pharmacies up here.
Really taking initiative like that. Sounds like a really good thing to do.
Yeah, we're real close to our independent pharmacies here, and we have several, and they're very community minded, and we've built good relationships. My family and I have with pretty much all of them. I guess being, most pharmacists are either from Sanford or Auburn, and even though I have a degree from Alabama, I started out at Auburn and have built relationships with some of the pharmacists who attended Auburn. We're big War Eagle kind of people. So anyway, we try to make it work as much as we can.
I hear you. Well, that's a really cool thing you're doing. And we should probably try to talk about that more at another time. But what I wanted to get you on here, the constitutional amendment you proposed, House Bill 21, would allow the legislature to call itself into special session. I can't tell you, doing this radio show all throughout COVID and all of the executive actions that took place, whether you like them or not, there was no oversight from the legislature. And you would hear people say, well, why doesn't the legislature do something? And it's because you guys were out of session. Now, I don't know if that was the impetus for this proposal you have or not, but you would like to see the legislature to be able to call itself back into session. Can you walk us through that?
Well, yes, I've been in the legislature going on 11 years now, and never ever did it occur to me that there was a need for the legislature to have to call itself in session. But during the pandemic, when the pandemic first started, it was kind of a shock how it rolled in, slowly, and then boom, it just kind of hit like a ton of bricks, and the executive orders started coming. And the governor was well within her legal right to do what she had been doing. And we very much respect and like her governor. We've worked well with her through the past years. I have nothing but good things to say about her, except for the uneasiness I felt and many of the constituents felt about, hey, we have three branches of government, and this is just unsettling that only one branch is involved in such a traumatic situation. I mean, it's a situation where people have lost jobs, people have lost loved ones, and yet there's only one branch of our government involved with that tragedy. And then when you started watching some of the governors in other states and some of the really heavy hand that one branch was putting on their citizens by locking them down a lot longer than we were, and by causing more chaos in their states, it got me worried, as well as some of the constituents I was conversing with on it, that, our governor has term limits, and we don't know in the future who our governor will be and who might use a heavier hand with their authority in such a way that would be more oppressive or more of a boot on our neck. And for that, I felt like that there needed to be a provision where you brought in the legislative branch of government in a situation like this, because we are the voice of the people that we serve. And I believe that if they feel better, no, regardless if the legislature called itself in session and acted just like, you know, the same executive orders that the governor put out, but it was done where everybody's voice felt like they were being heard, I think it would not have been as unsettling as it was over the past year.
Right. There's a lot of, you know, I'm sure you heard from some of your constituents, why they weren't happy with the non-essential or essential business classification. Maybe some of them didn't like the mask. Whatever you think about the policy, that's a separate discussion. But at least there wasn't the opportunity for the legislature to weigh in. And I think for one reason is we don't want a full-time legislature in Alabama, for sure. We want limited government. But you can't really have how government, in theory, is supposed to work with three co-equal branches when a lot of the big decisions are being made without the legislature, you know, especially last year when you had to call the session short, it left a void there, and it meant the executive had to take up a lot of the slack.
Exactly. I mean, you're exactly right. And plus, too, I think that the majority of the citizenry around where I live didn't realize the legislature was not able to have any say-so in it. Until they made a call or sent an email, and we were able to answer them to let them know how the process worked. So every time their response was always say, well, we want representation. We want representation on this. The people were losing their jobs. You know, it was kind of like, it's also kind of like you say, it's kind of insulting to someone to tell them that their job is not essential. It's essential to them. They have to put food on their table. It's their livelihood. That's very essential. So, you know, I think they wanted a voice. And I really, the way the bill is written, I don't know if you've been able, had time to take a look at it. The way it's written, each house, both the House and the Senate, have to have a two-thirds majority vote in each of those houses to make it happen. And if it wasn't a very serious topic or you know, emergency, I don't believe you would get the two-thirds vote that you need to have the special session. So there's precautions in the legislation to make sure that you don't, and I hate to use this term, but you got to remember I'm from rural Alabama. I don't think that this would be done willy-nilly.
Right. You know. So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it does, to get the ball rolling, to get things moving, it takes the president pro tem in the Senate, and it would take the speaker to initiate that, to get it going. So if y'all are out of session and it's like September and the governor not interested in a special session, but there seems to be an outcry about something going on, it would take an act of the leadership to really get this going, right?
Yes, it would. It would be by joint proclamation from the House and Senate. So what would actually happen is the Speaker of the House and the Senate pro tem would have a joint proclamation calling for the legislative special session. Then once we got there, you'd have to have two-thirds of the both bodies affirming that call to special session. And if that did not happen, you would adjourn and then sign and die.
Right. So then it's not just, Representative Norgren couldn't say, well, I want a special session. We're going to convene one. There are checks and balances in place, like you said, to keep it from happening willy-nilly.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, and tell me this, though. This would have to be a constitutional amendment, so you got to get to that three-fifths threshold. But this isn't something the legislature could do on its own. This is something that has to be done through amending the Alabama Constitution.
That is correct. What you would see if we successfully get this passed this session, you will probably see that on the ballot in 2022, actually. The gubernatorial legislative races in November of 2022.
How has it been received? I mean, obviously, I don't know, you know, but do you hear from your colleagues? Because there's a little, I'm telling you, just based on this, these last, I'd say, 12 months or so, there does seem to be an appetite for something like this.
It's been well received. It's been well received by the members, and I don't want to mention any names till it gets drafted in the Senate. And I had a call from a state senator last week who asked if there was a Senate version of this particular piece of legislation. And of course I responded, not to my knowledge. And so he is going to draft it for the Senate and file it this coming week in the Senate. So it will be traveling both in the House and the Senate. So the leadership has not made it a top priority, but I have talked to the leadership and they definitely think there needs to be a discussion on it. So we'll probably start in, we will definitely start in committee, and there'll probably be a public hearing and a discussion, and then we'll go from there. So if it passes through the committee, I think that we have a really good chance of getting it passed through the House, and then hopefully the same in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem, you know, they give power to the leadership. So I don't know, maybe that will be an incentive later on down the road. But I think you'd get a lot of just knowing what we know now about how the legislature works and how state government works, probably a lot of support for it. Does that seem to be the case?
Yes, that is the case. And I also wanted to let you and your listeners know that this isn't something, there are like 30-something other states that do this. And some of those states that do it have just passed that law within the last several months. So this is something that is being adopted or passed in other states because of this pandemic. And I really think that there's a lot to say that there three branches of government has to be respected, and it has to be maintained and continue. And to me, this is one way of doing that in the future in the event of emergency.
And real quick before we move on to something else on this, who determines what's in the call? Like, is it like if the governor calls a special session, there's certain parameters. You're not going to go do other things or sway from whatever is in the call. Is that a similar structure with a special session like this?
It's exactly the same structure. In other words, the provisions in our state constitution that provide for the governor to call a special session, those provisions will be the same for when the legislature does it. So you have to state why you're calling the special session, which is what we call the call. And within that, you have to give a reason why. And so that gives you the subject by which you can operate under. In other words, you can't present something totally different than from what you called the special session for, unless, again, there is a two-thirds majority to add it to the call.
Joined by State Representative Becky Nordgren here on the program for just a couple more minutes. Real quick before we get you out of here, those first 2 weeks being in the State House, even without COVID, can be hazardous in some ways, but it seems like things went well enough that there wasn't, that while it wasn't the most desirable of conditions, you're able to get a lot done. Well, what's been your perspective there in the House?
Well, it's been real quiet. It's been real quiet. Normally in session, I mean, it's just a buzz. There's just a constant hum going around because you have governmental affairs, people from different agencies and different colleges, and then you have your lobbyists, speaking to you about bills they like or don't like and things like that, and they're not in the hall anymore. And so there's a limited number of people, on the House floor, so we could do the social distancing, and then they're spread out like in the balcony and other rooms. So that's kind of that's very, very different, because a lot of the questions that we have on specific issues, it's easy to talk among ourselves and get a lot of those answered, because you have, you know, a person on each side of you and right behind you that might be on the committee where the bill came out and might not have something clarified in your mind, you know, in that piece of legislation. And they quickly can say, oh, yeah, well, it's in committee and this means this, and, you know, you can continue on. But without those, you just, it's kind of quiet. But I must say, though, I have been more focused on being able to really focus on what the speakers at the podium are talking about, because the chatter is so much less. So that's a good thing. We all kind of need to concentrate on what we're doing at hand. And we do that on a normal basis, but it's been a lot easier because the tone, everything's been toned down a little bit.
That's a great point. So every time I'm there in the gallery looking and just people kind of milling around and talking, and the discussion or whatever, whoever's at the podium speaking, kind of almost it seems like an afterthought. I hadn't even given that much thought. But, Representative, we are out of time. I want to thank you for making time for us, and maybe we could talk again real soon.
I've enjoyed it. Call me anytime.
All right. State Representative Becky Norgren on the program.